It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we're brought to you by Pinnacle Racing. I tell you what a great outdoor nationals it was. Of course, we have American Championships on the way. We have indoor nationals for your skating needs. I can't stress this enough. Get a hold of Jimmy Blair. Jimmy can take care of you. You can find him at pinnacleracing.com. And odds are, at those big events that are coming up, you're going to be able to find Jimmy. He can get you fitted for the perfect boot and give you the wheels, the apparel. Thank you so much for all the support, Jimmy Blair, Pinnacle Racing, for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. And Coach, again, masterful job lining up an awesome interview for us on this episode.
Man, I'll tell you what, we have been struggling to get into this interview. It's not been his fault at all. He's been ready to go for 3 weeks, but we are in, we're live, and I cannot wait to talk with Bob here in just a few minutes.
Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And let's just dive right into this, Coach, as you were saying before the break, an interview you've been trying to line up for weeks, and now we finally have it.
We have Bob on the phone. Everybody, it seems like, knows him as Slappy. Is that right?
Yeah, some of my not-so-good friends. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so that'll be us from now on. Here's the deal, okay, Boomer? So we have our podcast, we're going out, and I get this guy who messages me, this Bob guy, right? He says, hey, I'm a coach. Have you ever thought about doing an interview with a new coach? And I said, thought about it and done it. But that doesn't mean we can't do it again. We're always wanting to talk to new people and get new ideas. That's how we grow. That's how every team should be thinking about growing, how every athlete and how the sport should be growing. So here's the deal. We have Bob on. He's a brand new coach. I know nothing about Bob other than we've communicated a few times on Facebook. So I really want to dive right in and get to know this guy a little bit more. Maybe I can learn a little bit of something so I can go to practice tonight and really hammer you guys home with it.
I'm going to go home instead of going to practice then. And Bob, just so you know, if you give him any tough drills, I'm out. I am done. I am out for the night, okay?
So let me into it, Bob. What's going on? Where are you coaching out of?
Right now I'm coaching out of Rock Hill, South Carolina. We are Fury Racing. We are brand new this year. Although Rock Hill, the rink I'm at right now, has actually had a number of teams in it. But they've gone by the wayside. SC Speed actually happened to be the ones who were here for the longest time. And I came down here. I actually started up in the Eastern League with the Bethlehem Stars under John and Brian Ursu. Inline talk with John Rogers.
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah, there you go. They're the ones I started skating with. Well, I didn't actually start skating with. It's my kids who brought me into this thing.
Those stupid kids, right?
It always starts with the kids, you know?
It does.
They started doing this maybe 5 years ago now. So, and I think the first time we went to a speed skating practice, they put those skates on, and they have not taken them off since. I swear to God, when they take them skates off, I do not want to be around to smell that.
So it's like in the bed, in the shower, they're keeping the skates on, but probably good because it keeps the smell contained.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They absolutely love this sport, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not very much about them not taking their skates off.
Right.
So what happened was, let me give you a little more background about myself.
Okay.
I come from a cycling background. Back when I graduated from high school, I went and got full head steam right into track cycling. I was a rink rat back in the early 80s, and again, I'm showing my age right there. But I got into cycling, and I know cycling and speed skating are very symbiotic to really like sports, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I was into cycling for the longest and longest of times, and like I said, 5 years ago, my kids said, you know what, I want to go try this speed skating thing. So we did, and we raced with the Bethlehem Stars up there, and we did that for about 3 years. And then what happened was is that my job moved, and we went down here into the Charlotte metro area.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have anywhere to go. So this coaching thing was kind of forced upon me. In order for them to become and continue to skate,
mm-hmm.
I needed to shoulder this thing a little bit. So the thing is that because cycling and skating are so close together, it really wasn't that difficult for the transition. I've taken a lot of what I've learned from cycling and the way we train in cycling, and I'm using that here. So it seems to be working out really well. Regionals, we had a really great success there. We have 9 kids going to nationals this year, and they're really great kids. They want to skate. They want to be on the floor as much as they possibly can. They're rink rats themselves, and I really promote that. I love the fact that they're rink rats, and they want to be at the rink as much as they can, and they're skating and skating and skating, and it's a really great family type of environment here.
Yeah.
And they get along so well, and I think that really shows when they get to the rink in that their meets and stuff, they're always together, they're always joking around, they're always having fun. So that's kind of my long, short story so far.
Now, I'm curious, as you talk about bringing some of the cycling training aspects into the skate training, what are some of those principles, maybe some of the drills that you've carried over?
Okay. It's not really so much the drills, but it's the basic principle of it. And what I work on is a periodization type of training where we'll go for 4 to 5 weeks. Every week, things get a little bit different, a little bit stronger, a little bit longer each week. Then we'll go for 1 week, and we'll work on the very basics. We'll work on strength. We'll work on form, making sure we have all that together. The next week, we'll come up. We'll do some sprints. Shorter races, second week, little longer races, until the third and the fourth week, we have the kids out on the floor pretty much the entire 2 hours that we're out here skating. And that really helps build them and also helps them recover. So when they get all of that time in and they've got themselves skating for a long period, we got a week off, let them recover, let them have some fun. We do some crazy stuff on our fun weeks. Some days we'll play soccer just to keep them on the floor, but have them recover so that they can have some time to have fun, because this is really what it's all about. And my practices might be a little bit different, a little bit off from other people. I like to have fun at my practices, so we'll joke around a lot. We'll have fun. So, I enjoy this so much. As a matter of fact, I could have the worst day in the world until I come here to coach these kids.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. It just makes life. It just makes it. It really does.
So as a new coach, who are you leaning on as far as, I mean, obviously you had some experience of skating with a club, but are you leaning on any of the advanced coaches or more experienced coaches that you're around or have been around to kind of tutelage you and help you a little bit to get through some of the trials and tribulations of a new coach rather than make a bunch of mistakes that other people have already made? Have you started talking with anybody, or do you have anybody that you currently work with?
I do. I do a lot of networking. But it's mainly with the team I've been with before, and that was the Bethlehem Stars and Brian Ursu and John Rogers. I do a lot of basically Brian and I talk maybe even once a week, just to go over what they're doing, what we're doing, mm-hmm. how we're doing, and such like that. I have another skater who's here, who helps me out as well, former world-class skater, but helps me out a great deal, especially when I'm missing those little finer points of the form. Mm-hmm. He can pick them out, you know, so that's a big help.
It's amazing. It's amazing how, as a coach, when you first get into the sport, you're so rough and raw, and you have all these grand ideals of things to do, and you try some things and they fail so miserably. Like you set up a drill, and you know you put the most experienced skater to do the drill because you'd rather start it with somebody experienced. And they struggle horrible with that particular drill. But in your head, it was amazing. But it just can't be translated to wheels and skating. And I've gone through those drills with my skaters. So I'm curious about where you are on that. Are you like, you know, here's again, my background was in football and basketball. And I bring in, and whenever we're doing dry land stuff, you know, a lot of times I'll bring in the football drills. I'll bring in, you know, the defensive back drills to work on explosiveness and agileness, and I'll work on, you know, basketball stuff as far as symmetry left and right and stuff like that. So it's like I incorporate other sports and other information I pick up from other coaches from other sports. So I'm just curious, are you doing, you said you brought in from the cycling world, which is great, but is there any other sports that you're kind of pulling in from, or is it just the cycling world primarily?
It is primarily from the cycling world. We incorporated a ton of intervals. And matter of fact, there was one that I designed just like you're saying. I call it the 10-4 drill. It's 10 pace, four race. And it went great for the first two or three times. And then everybody's going, I'm tired. I can't do this. I'm tired. But we've got 10 more to go.
Coach Slappy sucks. He's burning our legs up.
So with this 10-4 drill, did you find as you got deeper into the drill, like there was, it became a spacing issue where everyone was kind of like all over the floor and there were no groups left? Like what did you notice when it finally broke down?
Yeah, that's what it was. Is that the one who was doing the pace was supposed to get to the back of the pack, and then they were going to do the 10-4 as well. They were doing their pace, and then they were like done. They weren't getting to the back of the pack. So I had skaters all over the place, and it was crazy. So we backed it down to a 5-3, and it seems to be working a little bit better.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a drill, and I'm going to let you know in advance that this drill is horrible in the sense of the athletes are going to hate you. Okay. It's a fun drill to watch, and it's a fun drill to do.
I know what he's going to say.
So here's the deal. So I attach myself to Jay Ingram and I learn about this drill called the Mills. Right. And I was told that it was basically like, a Booch. I don't know if you're familiar with Booch, and I don't know his first and last actual name. I just know him as Booch. And he skated out of the Jacksonville, Michigan area there with Susie Jackson and whatnot. And anyways, long story short, you know, Mills is just one skater gets on the track, comes around, the next skater goes out, and every skater just keeps adding on to the front of the line until everybody's out, and then you start coming off. And all of my skaters said, "Ugh, it's the drill." And they called it the drill because they hated it. Well, then I came up with a new drill. And now everybody's like, can we do Mills? So here's what you do. You put everybody in the middle of the floor and you line them up fast to fastest. And what you do is you pick a handful of skaters that are maybe just a little bit heavier, a little bit bigger than the current skaters, and that can take a shove, obviously. And what you do is just like your drill, you would do like a four laps and you would have them relay a skater coming out of turn two, and you have them relay a skater coming out of turn four, and you have them relay turn two and turn four every lap for four laps. and then have them do a 4 or 5 lap open with no relays after that. So basically, they're coming out of the corner, they're relay shoving, and they completely deaden their legs, they're done. Now they got to try to get back up to speed, come out of the next corner, relay shove. And every time they relay, they're going to a complete stop almost and then having to start back up again. So it ends up being this intervaling of start, stop for 4 laps, 8 times of starting and stopping kills your legs. And then you got to do a 4-lap sprint with no, you know, and then the people that are relaying or getting the relays rather, they would skate on the inside or behind because they got pretty fresh legs, and they would encourage that skater to finish those 4 laps and really give them someone to chase and stuff like that. So take that drill and try it. It's a really fun drill, and you can change the laps to whatever you want. My more advanced skaters, I make them do 8-10 laps of shoves and then another 10 lap open. You know, the younger kids, yeah. The primary and juvenile age kids, you know, they may only have to do 3 laps of shoves and like a 2 lap open or a 3 lap open. So it just kind of depends.
Great. I will take that. It kind of sounds like my Australian pursuit that I do with them. I have 2 teams. We'll do 1 lap relay.
Uh-huh.
1 team on one side of the floor, another team on the other side of the floor.
Sure.
And you go until you catch.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, there was one practice I had them out there for over 10 minutes. They never caught.
Wow.
Until they were all flat on their backs.
Hey, one thing I want to tell you with the Mills, okay? Because I've seen this happen with the Mills. It's hilarious.
He likes his drill, I can tell.
Yeah.
Well, so Coach will actually, you know, as we line up to do drills, you line up fastest to fast. That's how it works, all right? So, you know, Coach will say, all right, fastest to fast. And so everyone lines up in their proper order. And you basically know who should be in front of you and who you should be in front of. As soon as people find out it's Mills, they will start to switch their position. And I'm saying they will go to the back. They're not trying to move up in the line. They're moving back. And we're like, what are you guys doing? But it's so funny because they know the closer you are to the front, the longer you're going to have to be out there, so they try and put themselves at the very, very back. It's you'll see it every time you do the drill.
Yep, I bet. I have no doubt on that.
So are you finding? Are you guys competing primarily with USRSS? Are USA Roller Sports? Are you competing in both USRSS and USA Roller Sports? Or what's the team dynamics as far as right now with your club?
This year, we've only done USARS, USARS.
USARS, okay.
However, yeah. Right, but that's only because we're a brand new team. We're a small team,
yeah.
So we have very few options as far as where we are, as where we're going to go.
Yeah.
However, next year, we are going to get the license in the USRSS, and we are going to maybe try and put on a meet here in our area.
Oh, beautiful.
In our rank. So that, you know, we can help, and I think we're more along the lines of let's bring up that beginner skater. Let's bring them in and
sure.
Work with them and let them skate and race a little bit. Because I've got, like I said, I got 9 going to nationals, but I've got fairly consistently about 20 kids here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it'd be nice to get them into skating and racing,
yeah.
Actually, so that, you know, we're not going to limit ourselves. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
If there's a race somewhere and it's close and we've got our a calendar open for it, we're going to go. I don't care who's going to be running it.
Yeah.
I don't care. We're out there to race. We're out there to learn. And you don't get any better lessons than being out there and racing and learning there. You can learn a lot here at practice, but until you actually get into a race environment, into a race itself, you just don't know. So you really need to put yourself on the line and race.
And we've talked about that a lot on Skate Talk, where it's, as the coaches, don't limit your athletes. If there is an event, whatever the organization is, get those athletes to the event. Let them know that there's an event going on. So whatever the group, whatever USARS, USRSS, if there's something going on, get your skaters there. Let the skaters know what's going on. That's really
yeah,
what it comes down to.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, I don't really know a lot of people in the skating world, you know, other than the few races that I've been to and stuff. So it's like, I'm not caring so much about what they think. I'm only caring about what I think, and I'm caring about what my kids need.
Right.
So I'm going to give them what they need, irregardless of what everybody else is arguing about and complaining about.
Well, you know, you're in a beautiful spot, Bob, because you're in a position right now where you're basically formulating how you want to be as far as coaching and how you want your kids to perceive a sport that they're involved with. And the reality is I've been involved now with the sport for quite a while, and I've learned that there's certain people that are pretty much content with just being unhappy no matter what. They're always unhappy, and it doesn't matter. They want to fight and argue and complain rather than find solutions. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I've had my kids, and I've gotten involved with other rinks in the area and started a grassroots league that's not sanctioned through anybody, just to get the average rink rat kid to be able to skate an event at $5 a person, no insurance or liability for it. And they got out there and they had fun. You know, kids in Walmart skates are tearing it up for $5. And that's how we get kids engaged and involved. And then that next level would be to get into a league somewhere, whatever uh-huh. league you're in. And then as they progress, they start going to invitationals, they start going to regionals, they go to the American Championships or indoor nationals, and then eventually, who knows, to outdoor nationals. And maybe we can start getting some more outdoor events put together around the nation where kids can actually start participating in outdoor stuff more than what they are. And we can start drawing some of these park warriors out, you know, into the sport, because they don't care to go in a rink. They're out there in the parks. So I really like what I'm hearing, and I hope that our skate talk community out there really enjoys hearing from a brand new coach and how things have been going. So real quickly, what's been the toughest thing for you as a new coach that maybe you feel like, I wish I would have more information, or I wish there was better information readily available?
I'm glad you asked that. Yes, that's really one of the things that I really wanted to get across there, is that there isn't very much. I've been in a lucky situation where I've been in the cycling area, and I've actually coached in cycling as well. So I've gone through a lot of the coaching resources that they have, and trust me, coaching in cycling is immensely harder to do and to get a license than it is here in skating.
Yeah.
But I relied on that. There really isn't very much as far as USARS is concerned. Sorry to say that. I mean, there really isn't. I haven't found anything that's been very useful there. But
sorry to cut you off, Bob, but ironically enough, USARS does have information. This is what blows me away, is me as a coach, I basically went out and dug up a bunch of information wherever I could, and talked with coaches and got drills and talked with the, you know, pro skaters and everything like that, and to try to formulate a team. And then I'll talk with somebody. I'll talk with, let's say, Gypsy Lucas or whatever, you know, or I'll talk with Jay Ingram, and they'll say, well, USARS has that. And then next thing I know, I get a link. And there's a spot on the USARS website or whatever where you can click on it as a new coach, and it has like a lot of tutorial information or good information. It's like, man, I looked all over and I could never find that. So it's almost like the information is too hard to find, and it really should be just like when you go to the website, I feel like it should say new coach, and you click on it and everything's right there instead of being buried under some subtitle somewhere.
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean,
yeah,
I'd have checked that out if I'd have known about it. But
right. A lot of people don't know about the cards through USARS. I mean, and don't get me wrong, USRSS, that, you know, I've been on them as well. I think that both organizations, and I think that they do a good job. I think both organizations are doing a good job of providing skating services for people. And I know for a fact that both entities, because I have friends inside of both entities, and I know that both of these entities really want to see the sport do well. You can tell by when you talk with the different people, they live and breathe skating, and they all want this to do very well. But it just seems like, again, USARS is so shorthanded to try to accomplish everything. It's so few of people in the national office to get it done, so it requires volunteers, and volunteers are what they are. They're volunteers. They're not paid employees, and USRSS is basically 100% volunteer based. So I know that they're working hard, but these are all moms and dads with jobs and their coaches and their athletes and their, you know, everybody's got their own thing that they're doing. And to try to throw another thing on the table, I mean, I my hat's off to everybody and all the organizations that really do the best they can to put together. But from a new coach standpoint, you know, quite honestly, Bob, I don't give a crap what your problem is over there. I want the information available for me. I'm a new coach.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of one thing I also wanted to say is that, you know what, parents out there, if you've got kids who love this sport, don't drop your kids off and go away. Stay and watch, because you never know, like me, your job takes you somewhere else and you're going to be stuck.
Right.
And now the kids don't know where to go.
Well, hey, you know what? You know what, Bob? Parents need to get engaged and help where they can. Coaches are really overworked, very much so, in the sense of what they have to do. If they could get a little relief of a parent that steps up and says, hey, I'll take care of all this booster stuff so you don't have to mess with it. Hey, I'll take care of taking attendance for you so you don't have to mess with it. You know, that relieves a lot of stress off of a coach when they have a good support system around them to help them to achieve a better standard for the skaters, a better standard of practices, and just better communication within the organization. So I think parents need, you know, and don't get me wrong, we have great parents within the sport, but it would sure would be nice if more would step up.
Yes, I agree. Totally agree with you.
So before we get out of here, Bob, because I'll tell you what, time goes so fast when we're on Skate Talk. Whenever you get a chance, okay, and you're talking with people, don't hesitate to throw out there that you could beat, you know, Jarrett Paul on skates, or you could beat Tim Houston Trim. You know, you could beat this guy on skates, or you could beat like Joey Mantilla or somebody like that. But those people are just afraid to skate you, and just never challenge them. So if you throw it out there and you just never challenge them, you know, then no one can ever deny that you can't do that.
That's right. That's right. Remember when? Remember that day? That was me.
That was me. I know you don't remember it because it was a long time ago. But that was me.
That's right.
I'm going to steal that quote just so you know. Bob, best of luck with everything moving forward. I know we'll have you back as you get deeper and deeper into the coaching, and you're more than welcome anytime to join us on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Obviously, we're easily accessible. Hit us up anytime you want to join the show, all right?
And let us know how that drill goes with the relay shoves, because I'm telling you, your kids are going to hate you.
They will.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Sadistic. That's what it is. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.